The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You are listening to the Motherhood Unstressed podcast, and I'm your host, Liz Carlisle. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm always glad that you're here. And if this is the first time that you've ever tuned in, welcome. I'm so glad that you found the show. This week, we are talking all about navigating motherhood, sobriety, and mommy wine culture, and why mommy wine culture has gotten so out of control. But deeper than that, why moms feel like they can't handle the overwhelm of motherhood. What's really going on? My guest this week is renowned sober mom advocate, writer, and certified recovery coach, Celeste Yvonne. And she's experienced personally the dismissive response that she received from her OB when she was voicing concerns about postpartum depression. And faced with limited options, enroll in a psych ward or let it work itself out, Celeste found herself without the support she desperately needed during a vulnerable time. And Celeste is shedding light on why this is pervasive in new motherhood, and that is why women are going more towards alcohol as a way to deal with the overwhelm and lack of support in their own lives. So Celeste is sharing her powerful journey from postpartum depression to sobriety, and she's unveiling the reasons behind keeping her sobriety a secret for a year and the challenges that she faced during this transformative period. Celeste's story is not just one of overcoming personal challenges, but also a call to action for a fundamental shift in how we approach maternal health care and support. This is not just an episode about drinking and sobriety. It's more about that deeper issue of why we feel we need to seek out alcohol or other numbing substances to get through the day as mothers. So I hope this episode inspires you. I hope it is a balm to you if you are going through this yourself. And of course, all of her information is in the show notes, so definitely connect with her if you want to learn more. And I hope you enjoy this episode with Celeste Yvonne. Well, hello, Celeste. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you, Liz. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. I mean, your work is incredible. It's making waves. It's something that I think we all need to hear as mothers, whether or not we are dealing with this in our own lives presently. But before we get into all of that, can you share some of the events in your life that led you to writing the book and how that came to be?
Yeah, I feel like when I became a mother, my drinking changed from social, fun, lighthearted feeling to more dark, more of a need-driven, an attempt to settle my mental overload, kind of soften the exhaustion that just came with new motherhood. And it felt like a necessary thing I needed to do to get through the day. So I think I noticed a change in the way I was drinking right off the bat. And it was a bit of a scary change because I did grow up in a home of addiction with my father. And I always knew that I was treading on kind of dangerous territory when I was drinking. But I always thought if I did it differently than he did it, I'd be okay. And that line started to shrink more and more into my motherhood, to the point where, you know, I was drinking at a point where I was starting to have to hide how much I was drinking because I knew it was going to raise some red flags. But at the same time, I also felt like I was still fully in control. My tolerance had built up to the point where I never felt like I was losing control. I never felt like I was addicted. So I think I was just constantly weighing in my head, is alcohol still serving me? And if so, when do I have to declare this as a problem? And all this to say, you know, even as I would wake up more days than not with hangovers, even as I started to make plans around when I would be able to drink, or pre-partying before a networking event that I never previously would have drank prior to. So when I finally kind of reached this moment in my life where I realized I had to choose. Like, I could either keep drinking the way I drank, or I could parent the way I wanted to parent. And so I quit drinking that day, really not knowing what I was doing, but knowing that I couldn't keep going the direction I was going. And I kind of just started from scratch there, not really sure how to do this, not really knowing what I was. Am I an alcoholic? I don't know. My father was an alcoholic, but I never felt like I drank the same way he did. So are we the same? Do we both get the same label or not? I didn't know. I didn't have any answers, really. All I knew with certainty was that I couldn't keep drinking. And that was almost 6 years ago. And since that happened, I started to make sense of why my drinking changed in motherhood, why mothers do feel so overburdened and overwhelmed. And why are we in this place where, you know, mommy wine culture is everywhere? It's just this notion that moms need alcohol to cope with parenting. And how did we get here? And what can we do about it? Because at the essence of it all, I've realized this is about so much more than wine. This is about so much more than alcohol. This is about mothers not feeling that they have the support they need to either return to work, to be stay at home. It doesn't matter. And how do we get to a place where we don't need to drink at the overwhelm, the rage, the load, where we feel supported and valued, where our work doesn't feel invisible because people see it and recognize it and value it. Those were all the questions that kind of came up as I was putting this book together and as I was on my own sober journey.
Yeah. How far into your sober journey were you before this book started to call to your heart and you started to think, okay, well, you started to connect the dots to all these different issues?
I didn't even get to a place where I knew with certainty this is the right direction for me until I was probably 1 year sober. Mm. But I would say I started putting the pieces together on what this book could look like right around that time when I had kind of that serendipitous moment where I realized that everything I've ever wanted in my life will happen and can happen through my sobriety. And that's when I think I started to explore what my sobriety meant and kind of this idea of taking a deeper look at it. I think where the context of all these bigger things around societal issues we're having around the rise in female drinking matched with the mental load of motherhood, that started coming together after the pandemic. Mm-hmm. That's when I started to see these overwhelming themes that have been occurring for years, but the decade of the pandemic really presented it so clearly that you couldn't ignore it. And that's when I think the book turned from maybe what would have been just my story to here's the problem. Here's why so many moms are drinking at these problems, and here are the possible solutions.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, that's why we're all tuning in. This is what we want to hear. Not only do you address this problem and share your own personal story, but you do offer solutions for mothers who may be struggling or might not even realize that they're struggling. And then they're hearing this and they're like, oh, I do that. You know, because I think that's kind of, it's kind of an insidious thing, you know, drinking, having a glass at the end of the day. Like, and again, when culture is supporting it and shoving in your face every other day, you don't think of it as a problem. So can we talk about what you have found to be most helpful?
Yeah, and that is the problem, right? I mean, when you think about alcohol, when you think about the way we have grown up societally, we've been raised around what alcohol is and what it isn't. It is the, you know, cheapest, most easily available drug for adults in the United States. And it's also the only drug we need to explain not using. So putting that together, it's more growing up, it's more of a question of why you wouldn't drink than mm-hmm. why you would. Mm-hmm. It's not looked at as a drug. I feel like we have called it out as separate than drugs, alcohol and drugs, mm-hmm. as if they aren't one and the same when, scientifically, they are. They very much, alcohol very much is a drug and a dangerous one at that. So, you know, I think when you are born and raised in the culture that puts alcohol on this pedestal, and then you get to a place where you are exhausted, mentally feeling vulnerable, in a radical change in your life, and low on energy, aka early motherhood, alcohol seems like an easy answer. And I say that in part because we are presented with so much messaging that it is the answer to our motherhood woes, that mommy needs wine, that alcohol can fix this. When what I started to see in my research is what this really is, you know, a lack of postpartum support. Mothers aren't getting the support they need mentally as well as physically after the child is born. Then I think about the impossible parenting standards we put on specifically mothers. You look at social media, you look at parenting articles or trends or even just parenting books. And there are these expectations to do it all and do it just so, or you are creating lifelong trauma for your children. And, you know, there's something to be said about all of this, but the amount of pressure and strain that puts on all of us as parents, it feeds into our mental health in so many ways. Then I look at, you know, the struggles around finding childcare, around being a working parent, around trying to work like you don't have kids and raise children like you don't work. But the one thing that I think most families grapple with, and I say that as somebody who's reviewed the statistics, in a traditional household with a man and a woman, overwhelmingly, whether or not the mothers are returning to work, they still are taking on the brunt of household labor and child rearing. Yep. That's just the simple facts. And when I look at that, where we are still in this 1950s ecosystem, where while women are also returning to work, it's hard not to say, no wonder. No wonder women are drinking more than we've ever drunk before. And no wonder our mental health is at stake, because we have taken on the impossible. And until we can make better, more realistic household changes, our mental load will always be overstrained and too heavy for any given person to take on by themselves.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people would say, oh, you know, that's victim blaming and, oh, woe is me. But it, to me, you're framing it in a way that actually empowers the mother. It actually empowers the woman to be like, okay, this is too much. I should never have agreed to this. I'm no longer agreeing to this. And I'm going to make some key changes, subtract some things from my life that are going to embolden me and empower me and get me to that level that I'm aiming for anyway, without all this added stress and overwhelm and all this stuff. So I really do appreciate that you are empowering mothers while still calling out this very prominent issue that's been going on probably since the 50s. Like, I know you read these old books and they were drinking like crazy, taking drugs like crazy then, because they were overwhelmed and depressed. So this has been going on for a long, long time. And it's like, just until now, we have people like you sharing your story, really calling it out in an open and big way.
The only way I could even be at this place where I feel empowered to say, we need to make household changes, we need to make systemic changes, is because I'm sober. And I'm not saying that, like suggesting that everyone needs to get sober to make these changes. What I'm saying is I was drinking to numb out a lot of these realizations about the life I was living and what I will and won't put up with. And I think it's easy to do. You know, I think it's very easy to fall into a drinking or drug trap to numb out, because motherhood's overstimulating as it is. And when you feel like you're in a place of resentment or anger or rage around your lifestyle or life situation, instead of coming to terms and demanding change, some people, myself included, are more inclined to want to just drink at the problem and numb it out. And it wasn't until I was able to quit drinking, allow myself to feel those feelings, and make actual changes in my life that I could overcome the problems at hand instead of just numbing it out each night, which is what I was doing.
Yeah. Was there any person or any book or anything that inspired you, that gave you a rope to hold on to when the emotions did become super uncomfortable and you really wanted to go back to a glass of wine instead of persevere?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many books, but I would say the two biggest books that I think the first one is Quit Like a Woman. Me being able to go head to head with all the men at the table in how many drinks I can consume is not, it's not equality for the way I was perceiving it. And all the things that I really was numbing out to. So that would be the book I would say around the sober side of this. And then the book I would say around the redistribution of labor at home and demanding more systemic changes for mothers on a higher scale would be Fed Up by Gemma Hartley, where she addresses how to do all this, like why we're in this situation and why mothers still bear the brunt of a lot of this, why we've put up with it for this long, and how to redistribute that labor, how to have these conversations, and how to make changes that are more sustainable for all of us. You know, with my own personal experience, I started having these conversations with my husband when my firstborn was just a few months old, because I was already like at the place where I'm like, I cannot maintain this. I had put all this pressure on myself to be this I can do it all mother. And very early on, I realized like, this is going to destroy me. And I started having these conversations with my husband, and it was truly enlightening, because he said to me, I want to be more involved, but you've been pushing me away since day one. And I had no idea, but I think these impossible parenting standards we put on women, I had immediately assigned to myself that I was going to be one of those moms. I didn't need help. I didn't need support. I was going to make it look easy, because it was going to be intuitive, you know, all these things I had presented in my head of what a good mother would be and look like. I was pushing away my number one companion in this whole process, who wanted nothing more than to be an equal partner. And I was driving him away. So I think these are such important conversations, because yes, there will be partners in the situation who aren't on board, but I think a lot of us might be pleasantly surprised. But we have to talk about it first.
What is your definition of a good mother now compared to before? Well, how would you describe her?
You know, my goal in my sobriety is to be a present mother. And anything I can do past that is icing on the cake, truly, because when I show up sober and present for my children, I already know that I am doing everything in the best interests of my kids and my family. And I don't have to worry about self-sabotage or making a horrible mistake or doing something dangerous or putting my family's lives in danger. So for me, that's kind of just the baseline. If I am showing up each day committed to not drinking, I already am a good mother, and everything else I'm doing really is just extra icing on the cake.
I mean, your kids were probably really young when you started this journey. They know about the book. It came out recently. Have they shared anything with you about how they feel about this book, your work, and the change that you're making in the world?
I mean, it's hard for them to understand. I'm laughing because I'm looking at, I got a bunch of copies of the book in the mail, and one of my kids just kind of drew all over it and started cutting things out. Like, to him, it's just another book. So they don't really see how special this book is to me. But they know that they know their mother doesn't drink. They know their father drinks. And that's conversations we've had to have with them over and over again, because kids pick up on things way faster than I think a lot of us expect. And we started having these conversations around my sobriety in the pandemic, you know, when my kids were, I think, ages like 3 and 5, because they knew that I hosted meetings for sober moms. They knew that mommy doesn't drink, and they had questions about that. They wanted to know why. I love engaging in questions like these while they're still young, while they're curious, because we might not always be, you know. And when we can kind of break the stigmas around the secrets of alcohol and drugs, we are empowering them with knowledge, and hopefully, you know, by them understanding my story, they can feel better equipped when they have opportunities presented to them to make these decisions.
I just think it's so beautiful, because you are breaking this generational trauma that you experienced with your father. I mean, you were experiencing it, you dipped your toe in, you realized this is not how I want it for myself or my family, and you stopped it. And you're creating this positive ripple effect in the world with this book. I think that's incredible. I get chills even like thinking about it. I'm so excited for you and just your children and the lives that they're probably going to lead because you made this very difficult decision one day. Did you feel the buildup to this decision and knowing like, okay, Tuesday's going to be the day that I'm going to quit drinking? Or was it just like, no, not today?
A little bit of both. I did not know when I woke up one morning that it was going to be my day one. But I can look back now and see that I had a lot of convincing moments that this is what needed to be done. There definitely was a buildup in hindsight, But at the time, I think if you had asked me, I would not have equated that as a need to quit drinking and quit drinking quick. This is not unusual. Alcohol is a depressant, and it does increase our anxiety. It does increase our depressive thoughts, which I did not know at the time. But to have a panic attack and to have increased panic problems that I had in those years leading up to the time that I quit is not at all surprising given the amount I was drinking. But when I did have it, I had such a scary thought that something horrible might be happening. What if, you know, what if this is it? What if I was having a stroke? My father had a stroke at a young age. And what would that mean for my family? You know, what would life look like for my family if this was it for me, or if I was permanently disabled after this, the way my father was? And it was such a scary, heart-wrenching thing to think about and to envision, because it was such an ugly reality for my own family growing up. And I wouldn't wish that for anybody, but certainly not for my husband and my children. And that was what made me decide and realize that this would have to be the start of a different type of journey. But I really have to say, seeing my father's story, you know, being a firsthand witness to all that, really helped me get there, I think, a lot quicker than I would have otherwise. Mm. You know, I think having that firsthand experience, seeing the road that journey led, just helped me come to terms sooner that that is not the path I want to take. And if I keep doing what I'm doing, it almost certainly will be the path I do take. So in hindsight, you know, I'm grateful for everything because it has helped get me here. And I hope that my journey can empower my own children and their experience. But I do credit my father's, my own father's experience, because it really was kind of what helped me make the connection probably than I would have seen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are almost to the end of time. Celeste, do you have anything else that you would like to leave with the listener today? Anything about the book, your life, or your work?
I just think that, you know, what I hope people get from my words and my story and this book is to show mothers how to cope with some of our biggest stressors without relying on alcohol, and to help mothers who do feel kind of stuck in this place where they just feel like there's no other solutions, to see that there are things we can do today to take care of ourselves, that there are means of self-care that we can start implementing now that will help us and strengthen us. And alcohol doesn't do any of that. So, you know, if you are somebody who feels like the heaviness of that drink of that glass of wine that is now turned to three or four is weighing you down, I want women to know that there's hope when you try taking it off the table. And I would empower and encourage women to try taking a 30-day break if they do feel like they're in that place, because you already know what's going to happen if you keep drinking. You've already seen what that looks like and what that feels like, but maybe it's time to see what happens, or try try experiencing what life could look like when you don't.
I love that. I love that. Okay, Celeste, where can our audience find out more about you and get the book?
Yes, I'm on Facebook and Instagram at The Ultimate Mom Challenge. And you can find my book anywhere books are sold. It's called It's Not About the Wine, The Loaded Truth Behind Mommy Wine Culture.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your story, for having the bravery to not only become sober, but to talk about it and to uplift others through your own journey. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to the Motherhood Unstressed podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please remember to share it out, subscribe, and leave us a review. Till next time.